am Pierre Lumumba here at the African Heritage House in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya in the mother continent of Africa. Today we ask ourselves a question that deserves an answer. Is African cultural renaissance a possibility? Without doubt, there is progress in the direction of giving new impetus to African culture. But in order to appreciate why the word renaissance is significant, it is important to give a historical context, albeit briefly. It must be remembered that Africa is the cradle of mankind, and it is no longer in doubt that all human beings emanated from this continent. But over the years, the continent suffered in a manner that is immeasurable. Initially, it was because of slavery, when African men and women were taken outside of the continent and transported to different parts of the world. We now know that slavery had several roots. There was the route that took Africans to the Arab world, and they were decimated in that part of the world with cases of castration of men so that they could not produce. We also know that Africans were taken across the Atlantic and were taken to the Caribbean in countries such as Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts and Nevis, Martinique, Guadeloupe, and Guyana, among others. In the continent of Africa, slaves were also to be found in countries such as Portugal, Spain, and beyond. And the effect of slavery was such that people lost their languages, people lost their spirituality, people lost their artistic creativity, and even their artifacts were taken away into the museums of Europe, and they are now to be found in Portugal, in Spain, in Paris, in Brussels, in Berlin, in London, and different parts of the world, not to mention the United States of America, where a large number of slaves were also taken. The effect of slavery was so devastating that it created a cultural dislocation. One need only look at the narration of the movie Roots by Alex Haley to see how that dramatization demonstrates how people were converted into things. And when slavery had lost its luster and it was no longer economically viable, another project also came in the continent of Africa, and this was in Berlin in the year 1884 to the year 1885, when the European powers met in that city and divided the continent of Africa into spheres of influence. The net effect of that project was so devastating that when slavery was done with, when colonization was done with, what had happened is that the African had been thoroughly dehumanized. So dehumanized that he or she no longer had any time for his language. So dehumanized that the African forgot his method and style of dressing. So dehumanized that the African no longer respected his spirituality. So dehumanized that the African forgot his eating habits and his cuisine, so dehumanized that the African started hating himself and herself. In fact, it is Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah who says that the impact of slavery and colonization combined was so devastating that we may eliminate the colonizer, we may eliminate him politically and economically, but the vestiges of mental impact will remain for some time. This is also mentioned by Malcolm X when he says that when a person has been taught to use the back door for too long, even when the front door is open, they still want to create or look for a back door. It is in this context that we must understand the struggle for African cultural renaissance. And it must also be remembered that when we are talking about African cultural renaissance, there was another project, the Neo-Colonialist Project. And once again, it is Kwame Nkrumah in his book, Neo-Colonialism, The Last Stage of Imperialism, who tells us the impact of that particular project. Today, Africa is the only continent that is referred to in this term, Lusophone, to mean Portuguese-speaking countries, Francophone, to mean French-speaking countries, Anglophone, to mean English-speaking countries. The question is, in the face of that assault, can we have a cultural renaissance? The answer is yes, and it is happening. It is happening both within the mother continent and outside of the mother continent. If you visit the United States of America, you see the Kwanzaa Festival. If you go to Brazil, where there is a large African population, you see them organizing festivals. You go to the Caribbean, the same thing is happening. You go to Europe, you see that beginning to happen. You come to the mother continent, you see there is a cultural revival. And we will remember that in the 1960s, there was a concerted effort to give impetus to cultural renaissance through the Festival of Arts, which was masterminded by Leopold Sédar Senghor, the former president of Senegal. And the first festival of FESTAC was organized in Dakar in Senegal. On that day, what happened is that Africans showcased their art. They showcased their music. They showcased their food. They showcased their languages. And it was followed by perhaps the best remembered festival in 1977 in Abubakar Tafawa Balewa Square in Lagos, Nigeria, where FESTAC was organized. All these activities are an attempt to tell Africans that we cannot forget our culture. And it is instructive that once again in 1996, the former president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, came up with the whole idea of African Renaissance. And all these is designed to awaken the African to the realization that a people without a culture and who can be respected in the world. I'm therefore of the view that there is evidence to demonstrate that Africa is beginning to move in the right direction. One must also go back to the 1960s when African countries were beginning to regain their independence. And one sees that right from the day of the Organization of African Unity's first meeting, which was in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia in 1963, the 32 heads of states and government, even as they talked about the significance of independence, were also reiterating the fact that Africans must begin to re-examine themselves and must begin to embrace things that will give pride of place to African ways of doing things. One of the things that Africa is now focusing on is the need to ensure that efforts are coordinated throughout the world. Throughout the world to mean that Africans in the diaspora are working together with Africans in the mother continent. And it is in this context, therefore, that we must see that Africa and Africa Union have divided the continent into six regions, and the sixth region are Africans in the diaspora. And when we talk about cultural renaissance, what we are saying is that Africa is going back to basics, but is not going back to resuscitate the fossils of what was done in the BCs. We are simply saying that there are elements in African tradition which deserve attention. We are asking ourselves, what languages are we using? Are we using our languages so that they do not disappear? Are we writing in our languages so that they do not disappear? And when we go into our food Are we cooking our food and making sure that our food is appreciated both within the continent and outside of the continent? When it comes to dressing, are we dressing ourselves in a manner that is reflective of our culture and tradition? When it comes to innovation and invention, are we using our historical ability to invent and to innovate and borrowing from others, adopting and adapting what is necessary for the continent of Africa? When it comes to the question of using our governance systems, Western Europe told us that there is a thing which they describe as democracy. Is it the thing that can ensure that Africans can deal with their things in a manner that is essential to their being? The question that we are asking ourselves in the area of governance is, how did the Hausa govern themselves? How did the Yoruba govern themselves? The Igbo govern themselves? The Baganda govern themselves? The Igbo, the Ashanti, the Fanti? And we are saying that there are governance systems that we can use in order to have this cultural renaissance. In terms of dispute resolution, we imported systems of governance and dispute resolution which do not resonate with our culture. We are asking ourselves, are there methods of African dispute resolution that we can use? The Rwandese have demonstrated to us that gashasha is such a method. In a nutshell, what one sees is the reemergence of a bolder Africa, is the reemergence of an Africa that is beginning to understand who she is, the reemergence of Africans who are rededicating themselves to a renaissance, to a reawakening, to a discovery of the things that they did in the past and how those can be made relevant to the present. And writers such as Anta Cheikh Diop of Senegal, who have been in the forefront of uncovering the history of Africa before the advent of the Europeans and the Arabs, are actually giving us our spiritual, economic, and of course political true north. And I have no doubt in my mind that this train, the train of renaissance, is a train on the move. It is a train that is going to reawaken this giant so that she can operate in a world where she has confidence and relates with other civilizations from a position and a standpoint of strength. That is the Africa that I see. It is an Africa which is not a pie in the sky. It is an Africa that is beginning to emerge. And we are only beginning to see the tips of that emergence. Thank you very much. We continue to interrogate the history and the circumstances that surround the continent of Africa. Let us say our goodbyes in the knowledge that we will be coming again to continue this very fertile conversation. Thank you very much and goodbye.